on the line to tell us precisely what is happening in the region in relation to the party and the protest. Thanks so much, sir, for joining us this evening.
Thank you, my brother, and I wish GBC very well.
Yeah. Are you shocked by the developments in your region?
I'm not shocked, but a bit surprised.
Why do you say so?
I say so because most of the things that are coming through, most of their supposed agitations, most of the things that are being said are not things which are not being handled as a government in power.
So you believe that at least there's been some steps on the issues being raised by the demonstrators? Is that it?
My brother, if there is anything an up and doing president will do is to negate on campaign promises or what we call manifest promises. And His Excellency Atamil is doing nothing but just that as promised this country and the Volta region.
Did you get a signal from the demonstrators about their concerns before they even embarked on the demonstration?
They are concerns days without number. Time and time again, they come to us. We tell them the implications that are in it. We tell them where we have reached. We tell them all the steps being taken. And I'm surprised that this is happening today as if nothing is being done. Progressively, they come to me, they come to the regional minister, we have fora all over the place. I send my party people around. The president is doing his best, the road minister is doing his best. There is a committee in Accra, started in the president's office, headed by Dr. Makunyama, who are responsible for the university program. And calculatedly, everything is going step by step.
So you believe
if this is happening today, then they might have some reasons which they are putting under the carpet and raising some other things. It looks like they are showing us that their left foot, which has no sore, and asking us that to treat that for them, leaving the real wound with the sore behind.
Yeah. Mr. Kwasi Abuadi, please hold on because we are asking for the reasons that you think are not so clear. We have on the line now Emmanuel Ashigbe, a member of the Volta Region U4 Action, so that perhaps we can pick from him directly what he thinks is the cause of the present action. You are welcome to Behind the News. Hello, Emmanuel.
Yeah.
Yes, you are welcome to Behind the News.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Kwasi Abuadi is saying that at least they've been trying to tell you precisely what has been happening over the period. Why are you embarking on demonstrations then?
Well, I will tell you in a very clear language that I belong to PNC, People's National Convention. I am concerned just because my region is at stake. What is written on the placards today, I saw, this is not a party issue. This is a region, something that I would say is concerning the region, Volta region as a whole. And if he is saying that they are doing something, well, people should see what they are doing. If you are working or doing something, delivering service to the people, and they know, why would they complain? And this is members of NDC that demonstrating on these issues. Talking about the university project, which project? A president will come and cast a sword worth nothing passed through the parliament, and it's excuse today they will be given. These things tell the people that no, they are fooling them. And they go out on the street to demonstrate. And I don't really know exactly what he is trying to defend.
Hello. Does that mean nothing at all has happened since the president took over?
Well, I will not say nothing happened. If nothing happened at all, we still have our life. We still remain a peaceful country. So I will not.
I'm talking specifically in relation to the Volta region. Have you seen anything at all, or you think there's been nothing for the region?
I would say there's nothing for the region, even if anything at all is not the promises that the president makes. So the people are looking up to him exactly what he said to them. That is what they're complaining about. It's not the little thing or whatever they're doing, but just what exactly makes being the promise by the president during the campaign time, or what he promised his own party members. That is what they're saying, that it is not happening, and they are demonstrating against it. So it's not a matter of whether something is going on or whatever. What you say to the people is what they are asking you. Where is it? Where is your promises? We want, they're demonstrating based on the promises of the president. So it's not, I can't say that the president is not doing anything in the region and whatever.
Okay, just hold on. We want to go quickly to Mr. Kwasi Agbaji. Mr. Agbaji, he is saying that perhaps something is happening, but in relation to promises made to them, they are not seeing anything much. Is that the real situation on the ground?
No, Brother Obinja.
Hello, Mr. Kwasi Agbaji.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Kwasi Agbaji.
I'm not very comfortable sitting down in the barber shop for my brother to give me a haircut. So I don't know who that man is, so I cannot do business with him. I wouldn't answer any questions or get into anything with him, because he doesn't belong to my party. And he's doing everything possible to see my party is down for. So if he's not an NDC man, let him forget it.
Yeah, but even as we try to forget about him, Mr. Kwasi Agbaji, we are trying to look at exactly things on the ground, because there are other NDC people who might have been on the demonstration, and from the information available to us, some have even been suspended. And we just want to ask, maybe they also want clarification. They might not have had all the information.
As for the suspension of the people, I'm currently in Accra, and when I get home tomorrow, I will look into that suspension matter. So leave that with the party.
Okay.
The party is very, very capable of handling those matters.
Okay.
Things are the spur of the moment. You, as an experienced party man and a former minister, I wouldn't want to just hear that one and begin to dance all over the place.
Okay.
So leave the suspension issue with me. When I get back, I'll put her together with my executives, and we shall iron it out. It's a very small thing.
Okay. But on the issue of the university and other things being spoken about, not directly by even Emmanuel Ashigbe, what exactly is happening now, so that at least for those listening who are also concerned, they get to know that?
Yes, Honorable, I'll come clear. With the university, the president, I tell you, is a manifesto promise, which the president will not do anything not to fulfill. Now, as I talk, what we call victory facilities, that where they are going to start classes, the accommodation for the registrar, accommodation for the acting vice chancellor, are being renovated. Places where students will start classes, where the guest houses are all in shape. Contracts have been awarded, and there is the only thing nobody in hope can see now is that a superstructure, a skyscraper, is not springing up at the place where the president cut the sword. And I want to say this and say it again, that I have not seen any investing in Ghana at my age now starting from a new structure. And so that is all because the place is, they say the place is bushy, and it will not be long when an administrative block, something the picking water will start there. The university is definitely going to start. I would want them to go to the castle, knock at the door of who Dr. Christina Mwakunyama is, and ask her if the university of Brahapo and the water are going to fail. You see, it has taken much too much out of saliva out of our mouth on this university thing. The university is going to start. The only thing is that you can't find anything at the proposed place now, and that will come by all means. That will come by all means.
Okay. Mr. Kwasi Agbaji, there are other things being mentioned, that is tarring of whole township at the Eastern Corridor and all.
Yeah.
What about it? Have you spoken to...
With the Eastern Corridor, my brother.
Yes.
As we speak, when the progress comprehensively has not started, His Excellency has directed that a very large amount 100 million Ghana cedis have been allocated, which is ready, and these are going to be opened very soon. And within 2 months, work will start from Asikuma to Hohwe. That is the first phase. And in 2 months' time, in September, other managers, Parliament is going to be recalled on the 20th of this month to come and debate and approve another bill, another loan, which will start from where we call Pepe's a little beyond KJD to Nkwanta, then continuously. You see, if there is a delay, it doesn't, look, if you want to do anything and you don't start very well, like a hunter, if you go and you don't aim very well, you shoot and the animal will run away from you. If you are not very careful, it will turn around and kill you. So Professor Mills is somebody who does not hold things very lightly. He is going to do it, and he has started, and there are every process. So those who are not happy, I would ask them, apart from the Hijra Minister, if they are not satisfied, please, they should go to the Road Minister, Honorable Joe Didisu, and find out whether things are not there. If they don't want to see the minister, they should see the technical people if on their table. There are no plans that working from Hohwe, from Asikuma to Hohwe, will start any moment from now. And there's progress that work will start from Pepesu to Nkwanta on the Eastern Corridor Road.
Okay.
I am from the northern part of the Volta region. If anybody is concerned about that road, it is me, because if it's not done, campaigning there will be difficult for me. What do you mean the campaign? My people are suffering, and we are doing everything possible to open up the place, which will be a showpiece for Volta region.
Yeah.
I don't see why the president, if there is anybody in this country who has the welfare of Volta region at heart, it's a Professor Tamil.
Okay. Mr. Kosiawadi,
yes.
You have been a deputy minister of the region before. Is that
yes.
not it? And naturally, sometimes you expect some agitations here and there. So how do you think you will be able to manage what is coming up for people to understand precisely where you are coming from?
The management is nothing but very soon everybody will see progress, at least on the road. Because I'm from the place, and I cannot go and stand there and begin to tell anybody stories now in the world I begin. You should just wait patiently and see whether action will not be done. The whole president, a professorial president, who knows what he's doing, will not just open his mouth and say things he cannot do. If he can't do it, he will quit his seat and bow to everybody. The thing he will not do. I trust my president. I know who he is. He knows where the bricks are. He knows where the cross is. And he knows the road. And he's going to drive us safely to shore.
Mr. Kosiawa, I want to thank you very much.
I'm happy
for your patience.
That. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure talking to you. But
right.
Coming to you, Mr. Emmanuel Ashigbe, the regional party chairman is raising concerns that you are not a member of the party, even though you said you are also concerned about the development of the Volta region. Have you also tried to liaise and even go and ask questions directly of the appropriate authorities as to what is happening, apart from just joining in a demonstration?
I did not join the demonstration. I told you point blank. I say that I'm not a member of the NDC.
Mm-hmm.
And when, as he is saying that he doesn't know me, he don't have to know me before I can call myself a votarian or concerned votarian. We are talking about votarian. I'm not talking about NDC. So if he is making this kind of statement, I don't know what he means. I will simply say that looking at his profile, for him to say he needs to, I think he needs a long way to go to know all voters before they can stand to fight for voter, you know, to say something that is in concern of the growth of the voter region. So I don't really, I know I approached them, I went close to them and I asked, they told me exactly what is their grievances. And I am concerned. That is why I have to stick on air, or else I have no business with him too.
So with the clarification given, what do you say now?
Well, I will simply say that being somebody who play a big role in concerning the region, being a regional minister, a deputy regional minister before, and to still being a concerned citizen in Volta region in Ghana, I will say that some of this on air, this statement to say you don't know somebody to do business with, then he's telling me that
we are moving the discussion forward, Mr. Ashigbe.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
So what do you say now of the clarifications?
The clarification?
Yes.
Well, it's a good move. Let me just put it this way. This is the way I want to put it. It's a good move, and we all support it.
Well, we want to thank you very much for joining in the program this evening. But we'll still be monitoring events there, and if need, we'll get back to them. Thank you very much. Earlier, we were speaking to the regional party chairman of the NDC, Mr. Kwasi Abuaji, and he was also a former deputy minister of the region. But sometimes, when there are these developments, other party people will be looking on. Well, we want to pick the views of Ken Nwosu. He's with the MPP, just to know exactly whether perhaps they have a hand, because there's been issues of accusations here and there that it is more than meet the eye. You are welcome to Behind the News, Mr. Ken Nwosu.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. There are accusations here and there that perhaps it is not an open agitation, but people are behind the scenes. What do you make of it?
Oh, that is politics for you. If very known NDC activists, including executives and former executives, are in the streets of home.
Hello, Mr. Nwosu.
Demonstrating.
Hello, Mr. Nwosu. If you can please go down the volume of your set, we are getting the feedback here. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
You see, known party functionaries, executives, leading a demonstration in Ho, and you want to accuse, some faceless people behind this thing. They have served notice even before the demonstration. You see, the problem of the NDC in Ho Central is just symptomatic of the general malice, or the problem of the NDC in the water region. It is the outpouring. Today was the outpouring or genuine expression of great disappointment and frustration at the non-performance of the NDC.
Mr. Nwosu,
until Nana Konedu challenged the sitting president of the NDC government, it was almost a taboo to criticize the NDC in the border region. But the genesis of the current crisis was the inability of the president to tell the border region before the Sonyani conference. Many in the region, including staff NDC, functionaries and activists, believe it was a tactical avoidance of disgrace, because there was nothing to, no serious project to commission or to cast sort for.
Mr. Nwosu, earlier we were talking, and I guess you listened to Mr. Kwasi Abuaji about the fact that even talking about a university, you don't start with new structures immediately in place, but you depend on existing structures.
Why do we have to catch sword with pump, a lot of fanfare? Our chiefs and people, our revered chiefs and people were taken into the bush there. We danced bobobo. Everybody was happy. I was happy that we were going to have a university in the region. Only for the sector minister and the technocrats to come and tell us that they have not yet, finalized the programs. They have to go to parliament. They have not secured funding. You cannot continue to throw dust into people's eyes like that.
So, you don't believe there is a university?
Let me tell you something. It took the courage of the Volta Regional House of Chiefs to question the commitment and sincerity of the NDC towards the Volta region. And that was a discussion last week, for a lot of people to be awakened. Not to mention their obvious disrespect for our chiefs. You see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, but Mr. Nwosu, you are raising some concerns. So let me also come here as we seek clarification. We've heard that the university is in existence, just that structures to be built, we don't have them there yet. And I'm asking, do you believe
you
there is a university now?
How do you start the university? Of course, you can get some existing structures, but let us know where those structures are. The regional minister promised that this September they will be taking the first batch of students. Where are they taking them? Of course, I know that
September is not here yet.
The MPP completed nurses quarters or nurses bungalows at the cemetery area at the medical village. We hear that is what they want to annex, to start the university. Nobody have any problems with that. We want the university to take off.
Okay.
And they should stop telling us stories. Let me tell you something.
I do not think that the Agris Party supporters are far from right. You see, because the political leaders should know that we have all been in government before. The leaders, the minister, his VCs should not sit in hope. They should move to Accra.
Okay.
They should move from central ministry to central ministry.
Mr. Nwazu, you believe you are not behind it, but it's all the people trying to raise concerns about it.
To the region. Don't wait for your traditional sources, and that's because the budget is ready. You are waiting for the president to send you the money before you start something. We'll be here for 1,000 years.
We have to thank you very much for your time, Mr. Ken Nwosu, for joining the discussions on Behind the News. Behind the News on Radio Ghana, Ken Nwosu is with the MPP in the Volta region. Linking up with all our regional FM stations, you are here with us. If you are in Cape Coast, then it means you are on Radio Central in the Volta region, where there is some concerns being expressed now. You are with Volta Star Radio. And we move on to our next story. Science and technology continue to remain the bedrock of the development of every nation in the 21st century. But we are asking quick questions. Ghana is making an effort to really integrate science into all that we are doing. Where are we? That is one big question that we want to ask in our next story. So as you stand by, we'll be glad if you can also add your comments on it. But for now, DSP Cephas Atta is on the line because there were some concerns as to how the demonstrations were stopped earlier today and some arrests made. DSP Cephas Atta, you are welcome to Behind the News.
Thank you, Kingsley.
As the police managed to calm down tempers with all that we hear of,
come again, please.
We are asking whether the police has been able to calm down all the people who were agitated earlier.
Thank you very much. I think the police is primarily concerned about ensuring security and providing law, maintaining law and order in the country. And that is what we have achieved in whole municipality as far as the demonstration is concerned for now. And for that, yes, we have achieved our aim, and I don't really know about calming tempers. As much as the situation has been brought under control and no disturbances have gone on so far, no properties have been damaged, no lives have been lost, I think that the police has achieved its aim for the day.
The question is, why were they even arrested? That is those Hello? Arrested, yes.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
We're asking, why were they even arrested?
They were arrested simply because they violated the Public Order Act 491 of 1994.
And that means they didn't do certain things right? What didn't they do right?
Exactly. What happened is that the police received notification all right for the organization of this demonstration. And then the police, as usual, as per the tenets of the Public Order Act, invited the leadership of the Volta Regional NDCU for action, who intended to carry out the demonstration for a discussion, because it is the responsibility of the police to hold discussion with them about the modalities of the demonstration so as to enable them put measures in place to properly police the demonstration, to provide security for those embarking on the demonstration, and also to provide security for those who are also going about their legitimate business in peace. And so we invited them, we had discussions, and in the course of the discussions, it came out that the group had sent a delegation to Accra to confer with their leadership. And so between the two parties, that is the police and the demonstrators, it was agreed that the demonstration be put on hold to such a time that there will be a word from the delegation who have been dispatched to Accra. So that this was yesterday. So they agreed the demonstrators or the leadership of the demonstrators agreed and said that they were going about to inform their membership, the members, as to the latest development and get back to the police either yesterday, 2nd August in the evening, or today, 3rd August in the morning. So the police were expecting a feedback yesterday. They didn't get it, but because they had another option of today, they waited till today, this morning. They were waiting for a word from the people. Nothing came until a word came through that the people had congregated and they were making for the regional administration, already in demonstration mood. So the police also mobilized the standby men and quickly stopped the demonstration. And because it was in violation of peace, of law, the police arrested some members of the group, including the leadership.
Yeah. Are you going to prosecute?
We are carrying out further investigations, and when it comes to that, we shall do it.
Well, but we understand they are no more in custody, are they?
Yes, they have been released, and it is their right.
DSP Sifa Sata, we want to thank you very much. But later on, the issue of demonstrations and what people should do, perhaps we'll take it up and expand more. Thank you so much for your time. DSP Sifa Sata is the acting director of the Police Public Relations Department, clarifying a few issues there in the Volta region. Behind the news on Radio Ghana, we are taking a quick break. Behind the news on Radio Ghana, and we have some of your tests here. The police in Volta region did a yeoman service. Ghana is not a state of anarchy. The demonstrators should follow due steps next time. Budu Doji from Kumasi. And the NDC government must do something about the promises they made to Volta region. If not, come 2012, they will surely lose their votes to the MPP. Vincent from Ho sent in that one. And every promise is a deceit until it is fulfilled. Marwan Tamale sent in that one. And the good people of Volta region should exercise patience for the government to deliver its Better Ghana agenda. Long live Volta region. Long live NDC. Aziz Donla from WA and Starboys Nyai. Even Volta region, the stronghold and powerhouse of NDC, has seen demonstrations. Okay, I guess we can end it there for you. Baba Musa UDS, the NDC youth in the Volta region should exercise restraint and use dialogue to solve whatever differences that may exist between them and their regional minister, as well as their DCE. And Voltarians, NDC does not have anything for you and Ghanaians as a whole. Let us say goodbye to them. Frank from Kintampo is saying so. And to our next story on science and technology. Science and technology continue to remain the bedrock of the development of every nation in the 21st century. It can be said that the advanced countries of the world owe their present level of development to science and technology. Realizing the role that science and technology play in national development, successive governments of Ghana have integrated them into the country's industrial and educational policies. In the NDC's government's quest to commit more resources to science and technology, the President, Jonathan Mills, has given an assurance that the government will lend maximum support to science development and also assist scientists at the ongoing First National Science Congress in Accra. The President said science will continue to be extremely pivotal in the government's Better Ghana agenda. But the question is, has Ghana given science and technology the needed support? What has been the impact of our scientific and technological institutions? Behind the News discusses these and other related issues with the experts and other stakeholders. We first have joining us on the line the Minister of Environment, Science and Technology, Madam Sherry Aiti. Good evening, Madam, and you are welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening.
Yes. Looking at the mandate of your ministry, how do we really see it as being at the base of our development agenda?
Thank you very much, I think the mandate of the ministry is to drive science, technology, and innovation into the national development agenda. I think yesterday I recounted that since independence, we've actually not given science, technology, an impetus, in our own development programs or prioritizing things. But then, despite all the, research, science, being in the background, working to support national development.
Hello, madam.
Yes.
Yes.
And then I think that, you know, research, a lot of work has been done in the agric sector. We can tell that now we have about three varieties of sorghum millet. And then we also have three varieties of maize. And then we have developed a lot of varieties of cassava. And all these have been integrated into the National Agricultural Program. So farmers are using these new varieties and they are experiencing lots of bumper harvests. But I think that one of the things that is worrying us as a nation is what we call post-harvest losses. While government is giving farmers a lot of financial support and then extension services, you know, after harvest, I mean, they can't add value to the bumper harvest. You know, we only, I can talk about orange pineapple. I mean, you just take, you know, orange, you slice it and you squeeze it. But then we need to add a longer shelf life to orange pineapples and, you know, even cassava plantains. You know, in other countries, if you look at our market, we have a lot of orange juice, pineapple juice, mango juice coming from South Africa. And I think when, you know, our farmers also harvest their oranges, pineapples, they don't have the technology. I mean, the country has not been able to establish the technology, you know, to convert the surplus orange, pineapple, mangoes into juices, you know, whereby we can also create jobs for our own people and also add more value to the farmer's income. So these are some of the things that we are looking at, you know, when it comes to food processing, when it comes to cutting down post-harvest losses. And then also we are looking at the environment. I mean, currently you will agree with me that we are all experiencing serious environmental degradation. Around us, you know, everywhere is polluted. Our waters are polluted, our gutters are choked with filth. And then even in the forest, you know, we have, you know, chainsaw operators have degraded the land. And then when you go to the mining communities, chemicals have washed into our water bodies. And these are the things that concern us now. Because if we don't take care, a time will come in our country we will not have water to drink. Because all our rivers will be polluted with chemicals from mining communities and also from industry. So we are looking at ways where we can, you know, provide better, you know, environmental regulations so that we can regulate the activities of companies, industries, and then mining communities, and also to regulate the activities of galamsey and then chainsaw operators.
Yeah. Madam, you've mentioned a lot of issues. They are very broad, but you brought in agric and all these other concerns. And you also mentioned research. But some are saying that sometimes commitment to research in terms of investment, it's not something we can boast of as a country. Is that the situation?
Of course, definitely. I can say that that is the situation. You see, because a country, you know, must make commitment towards research. And then I can compare ourselves with Malaysia. Malaysia came here, they took only two palm, you know, oil seedlings to Malaysia. But then the government, you know, committed itself to research. You know, and they were able, you know, to have better varieties of palm seedlings, what they took from us. And then they have developed palm oil industry to the point that it is their number one, you know, foreign exchange, you know, earner. So we are also here saying that the government must set aside a budgetary allocation for research. I mean, we have the cocoa industry. There are a lot that we can do through research that we can expand the industry. We can expand, you know, cultivation of cocoa. We can expand and have different varieties of cocoa products. We are here, we export the cocoa, and then, you know, in Europe, they process it and bring us the chocolate and other cocoa products here for us to buy. So that is why we are saying that government, it's time government commits itself to investing in research and development.
Madam, you are part of government.
No, this is my government.
Uh-huh.
So this is one of the things that we are demonstrating for this week. You know, showcasing what Ghanaians can do. And if you come to the, you know, exhibition, you'll be amazed, you know, about things that they, even young people, you know, institutions, you know, have created through research. And then this showcase, in fact, yesterday, the president was so impressed that he had to say that no. Government will now, you know, look at the NEPAD AAU decision in 1980, which said that 1% of your GDP must be committed to research. You know, so if let's say now we finish with a 2011 budget, so 2012 budget, we will ensure that 1% of our GDP is committed to research and development, and this is why we are saying that we will set up this Science, Technology and Innovation Fund.
Mm.
And all this money will go there so that research activities can be supported financially from the lab to the pilot and to the commercial scale.
Yeah. So does that mean that part of what you are talking about will be going to assist the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research? Sometimes they keep talking about the fact that there isn't adequate support for them to do all that they desire to.
Yeah, part will go to support CSIR. And then also we have the universities. You know, we have universities also carrying out research. The polytechnics are also carrying out research activities. So all these people will be able to source the money from the Science and Technology Innovation Fund so that their work can be enhanced for national development.
Madam, we want to thank you very much, but we'll still be exploring, since it has not ended, to see the other sides that we can remain committed to for us to develop. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Madam Sherry Ayite is the Minister of Environment, Science and Technology. But Dr. Abdullahi Baba Salifu is the Director General of the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research. That is a big wing if we are talking about scientific development in this country. He's on the line with us. Well, welcome, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. I've just mentioned a little bit about CSIR, that is your institution. What are you supposed to do as an organization to assist the process we are talking about, that is integrating science into our development?
Well, let me say good evening to our listeners. First of all, it is important to understand that the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research was purposely set up to ensure that we conducted science and scientific research to backstop the development of our productive sectors of the country. And therefore, our research encompasses almost all of the issues that are around our development, be it agriculture, medicine, environment, and so on and so forth. So specifically, our mandate is to ensure that we do not only coordinate, but we actually do carry out the research to come up with innovations that can be deployed in our national developmental scheme.
Do you agree with the school of thought that says that you conduct a lot of research that ends up on the shelf?
This is one issue I've always asked myself. Is it really true that things are sitting on the shelf? You see, the bottom line is that we should not make a mistake of thinking that the R&D institutions, when they develop the technology, then they must of necessity take it out there to the market. No. We may at least go to the extent of setting up what we call pilot plants in order to demonstrate the efficacy of the technology. Subsequently, we expect that entrepreneurs within the system, even within the public sector, apart from the private sector, even we believe that some sector within the public sector to be able to take up those technologies to commercialize them, operate them on a larger scale for the nation's benefit. But, you know, more often than not, what we see is that we have these technologies, but they have gone to the extent of a pilot stage demonstration of the efficacy of those technologies. But, you know, getting entrepreneurs to get interested in the local technologies usually is also a problem.
Have you tried to engage with them?
Of course. Let me give a typical example. One issue that is topical in recent days. I probably think a lot of people have heard about the pozzolana cement, which is a problem, pozzolana cement. In the last few days, I think we have all heard on the airwaves that this company from outside, after we had made several efforts within the country to get local entrepreneurs to commercialize this technology, we didn't get that. But we had an international investor from all the way from the United States who has come up to set up a big factory to produce at least 5,000 bags of pozzolana cement a day. What do we see subsequently? It is, you know, he has the product, they have the data in the warehouse. Nobody is buying that. But it is not because the technology is efficacious. It is because we have met all the standards in terms of its quality as a properly binding material comparable to, you know, cement. And indeed, when you combine it with cement, we have a bigger bond when you use it in the construction industry. That has not happened because we have found out that as a policy, good. I mean, government's intention is to encourage the use of local content, but we still have not gotten the policy directive that indicates that the Agricultural and Engineering Services Limited should, you know, recommend it as one of the specifications. So you see, this is where we're coming from. We have the technology. I really don't think they sit on shelves. All of the crop commodities that you buy from the market, from plantain to yam to rice and maize, we all of these come from the CSR. So I don't think they are sitting on the shelves per se.
Sir, as you raise these concerns, we are now having this Congress and people see it as a good step to take. But how do you see it really acting as a catalyst towards the efforts we are talking about?
The National Science Congress, I can tell you that I think that is the greatest catalyst we could ever have. You see, because it is bringing to the fore the role science and technology innovation can play in the nation's development. Indeed, you realize that the team itself, the water, sanitation and environment, is just a subcomponent, a little component of the overall science and technology picture. But I can, you know, with this, I believe that the publicity that is given to it now, and I hope that in future, we should be able to have it on a biannual basis. This really would, you know, should be able to showcase the role of science and technology in the nation's development. This is the one catalytic effect that I see from the ongoing Congress.
Dr. Abdullahi Baba Salifu, certainly we'll talk again, but for now, I want to thank you very much for your time.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
He's the Director General of the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research. But talking about the sciences and encouraging people to even see its relevance to our development, we can talk about the Ghana Academy of Arts and Sciences. It houses a lot of the people who are working actively in the area. Professor Adam Mensah is a fellow here and also a former Vice Chancellor of the University of Ghana. Professor Adam Mensah, you are welcome to Behind the News.
Thank you very much.
You are coming from the university not long ago. Do you see them as really championing the cause of the sciences?
Yeah, first of all, I'm still in the university. Since I retired as Vice Chancellor, I've still been teaching and doing research in the university.
Thank you very much. Your research will continue to even help.
And I'm also a former Vice President for the sciences.
Okay.
Of the Ghana Academy of Arts and Sciences.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, your question is a very relevant one, and I've listened to both the Minister and the Director General. And I think what is happening now really is focusing on the challenges facing science and technology in the country at the moment. Yes, we need science and technology for development, and this has been demonstrated all over the world, that there is no country that can develop to the level that other developing countries like Malaysia, South Korea have developed to without enhancing science and technology as part of its development agenda. The problem is that you must train the manpower. You must develop the capacity. And when you develop that capacity, you must have the requisite places for these people to enter, to put into effect what they have studied in the universities and in the other educational institutions. I think this sort of thing happened to a very large extent during the First Republic, when we set up a lot of industries and other organizations to absorb the scientists and the engineers and the doctors and other scientific-based professions that we were training. But unfortunately, with time, we seem to have lost our way. These organizations to absorb the manpower that we train have virtually, many of them have collapsed, let's face it. Secondly, even those that we are training now, we are not making available to them the necessary wherewithal to do the little that they can do. We are still looking to foreigners to do certain things that our own trained people can do here. How then do we expect them to acquire the requisite experience to build on whatever they have learned in the university? Thirdly, the institutions that we have set up, that is the universities and polytechnic, were given specific mandates to train the science and technology personnel for the country. But in the recent past, they all seem to be losing their mandate. KNUST, which was supposed to be training about 90% science and technology to 10% humanities, is now around, they've dropped from about 70% science to about 59% science. For reasons that some of us find difficult to understand. The polytechnics that were supposed to train the middle-level science and technology manpower are now all falling below their original mandate of 60% science to 40% humanity. Now they are training a lot of people in marketing. In fact, the ratio is now about 35% science to 65% humanities. And the other universities are not in any better position. So this is what is worrying some of us who are in science education. Thirdly, I was happy to hear yesterday that the science and technology scholarship has been reinstated. Even though we need scientists and technologists and engineers, when you go to university now, as a science student, you pay more than the art student. So what will attract somebody to go into science, especially when that person is not likely to get a job, a satisfying job, after the training? These are some of the things that worry me as a scientist and as an educationist.
Prof, you've raised a lot of concerns that we'll be delving into on a bigger platform. But for now, it's good you've put them here. As we delve deeper, we'll be trying to find answers with this Congress too. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much also for calling.
Professor Adair Mensah, Fellow of the Ghana Academy of Arts and Sciences. And as he told you, he was the Vice President for the Sciences in that academy. Behind the news on Radio Ghana, and we are moving on to our next story in relation to the right to information. The debate on the right to information bill has gathered some heat in recent times with the consultation for the three northern regions and others. For some members of the Right to Information Coalition in the three regions mentioned earlier, publicity was inadequate and that robbed the consultation of sunshine. However, this is not the only problem of the coalition. Information available to Behind the News indicates that the Right to Information Coalition is expressing serious reservations about some of the clauses in the current bill. Some of these clauses relate to exemptions and timely release of information. What exactly is the coalition saying about them? Lawyer Akotuampao is a leading member of the coalition and is now on the line. Thank you, sir, for your time this evening.
Thank you, too, for giving me the opportunity.
Yes, we've mentioned exemptions and timeliness.
Yeah.
What exactly do you say about them in relation to the present bill?
You see, generally, exemption clauses can, if they are not properly drawn up, can become a means by which the right to information is actually denied. And therefore, international best practice requires that exemptions meet certain basic principles and conditions. One, that the exemptions should be in order to protect a legitimate public interest, or two, to protect the rights of individuals. In other words, where you have exemptions that are blanket, which are not related to any compelling need to protect the public interest or the right of individuals, there is no justification for the exemption. And you notice that our Constitution, the provision of the Constitution that guarantees the right to information, actually states that every person has a right to information subject to such qualifications and laws as are necessary in a democratic society. In other words, if you are to have exemptions, there must be clear evidence of the necessity for the exemption. And we are saying that a lot of the exemptions that we have in the current bill do not meet the public interest or harm test. And secondly, they are not shown to be necessary. In other words, we are suggesting that the provisions of the bill on exemptions as they stand now actually contravene the provisions of the Constitution that guarantee the right to information. And we think that Parliament will be doing a great disservice to the people of Ghana and to our Constitution if they simply allow these wholesale exemption clauses to pass as they are without a review.
Yeah, Lawyer Kotwampa, I'm just asking, have you not engaged the Parliamentary Subcommittee on Communication on these issues you are talking about?
We have engaged them. We hope that we have been able to convince or persuade them. But it is not simply our engagement with the Parliamentary Subcommittee that is essential. We think that the whole public must take an interest in this bill, because this bill is actually aimed at empowering ordinary people to access information so as to be able to participate fully and meaningfully in the public affairs, and so as to, ensure that their rights under social programs, under the law and under the Constitution are realized.
Yes.
So it is very important that the whole public of Ghana take an interest in the exemption clauses.
Is that not what the consultations are to serve?
Hello?
I'm asking whether that is not what the consultations will be helping to resolve.
Well, the consultations are supposed to facilitate this procedure. But the unfortunate thing is that there has been very little publicity in advance to the general public. Many people still have not even cited the bill. Much more do they know the provisions in the bill to make meaningful consultations. And we would have thought that given the critical nature of the consultations in getting a good right information law, enough preparation and organization should have been put into the consultations. Unfortunately, it seems the consultations are being hurriedly organized, and that civil society and the organizations have not had enough opportunity to participate fully in these consultations so far.
There are still opportunities. Do you think there is not time enough to incorporate some of these concerns with the rest of the consultations left?
Oh, there are. And we do have quite a number of major reservations with the current provisions of the bill. For instance, it could take you almost half a year between the time you request for a particular information to the time that the information is given to you under the current provisions of the bill. And we think that seriously undermines, you know, the bill.
Yeah.
Again, you have provisions like, the fee regime, which is not consistent with international best practice, because the right to information being a fundamental human right, if you are going to impose any fees at all, the fees should simply be limited to what is required to reproduce the information the applicant is asking for. But in the bill, we have all manner of fees, including the need to pay deposits in advance, and if you don't pay that deposit, your application will not be processed.
Okay.
There's also the rather punitive clause, which says that depending on the time it takes to get the information you are requesting for, you pay more.
Okay.
And we think that is to impose on the citizen, you know, maybe the poor record-keeping culture of the agency.
Lawyer Kotwampa,
yes?
You've raised concerns. We'll be opening it further with the consultations as they take place. But I want to thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, too.
Yes. But Mr. Ebo Batten Odro is the Deputy Attorney General, and he has been monitoring the process in Parliament for some time and has joined us on the line. Thank you, sir, for your time.
Thank you. You're welcome, sir.
Yes, you've heard Lawyer Kutuan Pao on the issues and their reservations on some of the clauses of the bill. What exactly will Parliament be doing in relation to the concerns raised?
Well, Parliament will have to listen to the concerns raised, and that's the reason behind the visual tour that the Select Committee is undertaking as I speak to you. You see, the bill has taken some time before Parliament, because while Parliament was about ready to push it through, a number of petitions were received from NGOs and stakeholders, blah, blah, blah. So it became necessary to undertake this tour of regional capitals to interact with stakeholders, to give them the opportunity to express their views. And funding was becoming a problem, but fortunately now we've gotten the World Bank to provide some funding for that project. And so as soon as Parliament rules, the Select Committee undertook this trip. I know they've gone to Ho, they've been to Koforidua, and on and on and on. So at the end of the day, after they have assessed all the inputs from the various stakeholders, they'll be in a position to meet and prepare a report which will be laid on the floor of Parliament. So that's what I can say about Parliament trying to be a listening institution and therefore trying to satisfy the requirements of the people who really matter as far as this bill is concerned.
Zebo Batenodru, I think we'll be opening it up and looking at the issues and really debating it. But for now, we want to thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
That's the Deputy Attorney General, Mr. Ebo Barton Odro. Behind the news, before we go, BB Moses from Gari in the Upper East region is saying, NDC says 2012 na double-double, so demo na double-double. Phil promises na double, that is what BB is saying. And Volta region was not the only region that voted for the NDC. They should exercise patience, for development is a step-by-step process. Andrew Manga sent that one. And people of Volta should exercise calm. The NDC government will not turn its back on them. AU Farouk. And government should do its best to maintain the NDC party in the Volta region, because we need Volta to win 2012. Awini, Peter, Agona, and Daniel Marcel Bolly. The government cannot fulfill all promises within 2.5 years. There is no government on earth that can fulfill all campaign promises. And Harrison Damongo, I think the NDC full soldiers in the Volta region are right. DS may even be better. The president promised the people of Damongo about their roads. Sola Fufusu Road, but it has not started yet. That's Harrison. And that is where we wrap it up for today. On behalf of my production team of Bryce Agama, Christopher Isidro, and Edmond Sete, and Ben Bochiru sat at the controls, and Agatha who did the summaries for us. My name is Kingsley Odinchere.